on God. And I hope GM doesn't get upset with me for stealing their slogan. We're going to take a little detour today. How many of you know what OnStar is? Oh, you guys don't have GM cars. Okay, I'm sorry. OnStar is that computer system that is in GM cars that when you have when you're going someplace, you can call them and they can tell you what to do, or you can go on there and you can find out where you're at. We used it once on my dad. He was supposed to go from the hospital back home, and a couple hours later he had not gotten there. So my sister called the people at OnStar and said, "We're trying to find our father," and I'm sure she was like, "Okay." Well, they pinged the car, and the car was over in Ohio, 3 hours away from where my dad was supposed to be. You know, sometimes that's the way we are. We're not where we're supposed to be. God has a GPS system for us, and that's what I want to talk about today. God's global positioning system on God. When I was a salesman, I used to travel all over the United States and Canada. And, you know, when you traveled as a salesman a long time ago, back when, just after the horses left, you took these things called atlases with you. Now, for the kids in here, an atlas is a book that includes maps. And for the kids, a map is a piece of paper that looks like a place. And it has roads and that on it. I say this because most kids are like, "A map? Wow, what an idea." And you actually fold it up and you put it in the pouch behind the back seat. Wow, that's interesting. And then they just turn away and they walk away because they're like, "Wow, is he old?" You know, but I would travel all over the places. And I was very lucky because I have a good sense of direction and I didn't get lost very often. One time I did get lost. I was following the map. And I ended up downtown New York City. I mean, I was not supposed to be downtown New York City. I was supposed to be up on one of the coasts or something, but somehow I had gotten lost, and there I am looking at the Twin Towers going, "Okay, that's not where I'm supposed to be." I also had the opportunity as a salesman to actually work with the people that made the GPS system. Little company down called Collins Rockwell in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And back a long time ago, it wasn't on your phone. It was a bunch of engineers, and they were making this decision, this new system. And I'm sitting there talking to them. They said, "Let's tell you what we're doing." They really wanted to show me what was going on. And as a salesman, I love to hear that. And so they drew this globe, and they drew this airplane, and they drew a satellite, and they said, this new system is going to make it so that the airplanes, wherever they are, when they're in the Air Force, they will know within 5 miles where they're at. That was awe-inspiring. Now I pull out my phone, and I go, "Yeah, I can know where I'm at within about 50 to 100 feet." But at one point in time, there was this system that we needed to do. I say this because life is a journey. Life is a journey. And there's many roads that we can take. And it's a question sometimes about what roads do we choose. When we look at the Bible, God says this about us. Hang on. No? Okay, hang on. Right again? There we go. God says in Jeremiah 29:1, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." You know, you think about that and you read it, and what it means is that God knew you from the very beginning. From the before the moment you were even beginning that first division, God knew you. And God had a plan for your life. The question is, are we living God's plan for us? God could have made us little robots. He could have made us so that all we did was just walk in lockstep together. But that's not what God wanted of us. God created us different. He gave us a mind and a will. He gave us the opportunity to make decisions. His desire was that the decisions that we would make would be the right decisions, that they would be the decisions that lined with what God has calling us to do. As you know, the story never goes the way it should. God knew that. He wasn't taken back. He knew that man would turn away and that he would follow his own plan. He knew before Eve ever said that first word to the snake, he knew. But God gave us that opportunity. He wanted us to come willingly, to come to him, to seek his understanding of what he has for us. And he says here, for wholeness, to give you a future and hope. God's word is not just about the great future when we go to heaven. He wants you to have a wholeness and a future right here, what you're living right now. I don't know about you, but all those computer gadgets that are in the car, they get corrupted. You know, your computer at home, it picks up a virus. Your phones, they get viruses. Things get corrupted. And one of the things that is corrupted is man's GPS system. The system that God put in us, the one that is supposed to be in line with God, has been corrupted. Sin came in and broke the wiring, or maybe just put smudges over it, I don't know. But it changed what was being called for. In man's GPS system, man uses his own understanding. We look at the world around us and we try to make sense of it and then do what we think is right with our understanding. Man also uses his culture. Too many of us, we worry about what the culture is doing and not about what we are to be doing. Here it is. Man's own understanding. Here's what God says about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't think you have it together. Don't think because you have a degree or maybe you all this knowledge or something that you know what is right and what is wrong. Sometimes we have to understand what God's calling is. Lean on God. Trust in Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So often we don't fear the Lord. We do make ourselves wise in our own eyes. We want to be looked upon, to be exalted, to be known as being wise, to having that strength. We don't want to be under God. We don't want to listen to His rules. Isaiah deals with this. Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. I have found that so often in my own life, that my thoughts were not God's thoughts. Now as I come to the Lord as a Christian, I hope that I'm doing more and I'm being more in line with Him, that my thoughts are more like His. But it doesn't just happen. God doesn't even do it when he makes you into a Christian. When he comes into your life, He doesn't all of a sudden just program you so that you do everything right. Why? Because he wants you to rely on him, just as we saw in 2 Corinthians. He wants you to come to him. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that you're not that bad. That, you know, maybe as you look around you and you see everybody else, you do a pretty good job of picking out the right way and making the right steps in that. The problem is you're judging yourself by the wrong standard. You're judging your stuff by a bad standard, a fallen standard, a broken standard, the standard of man. God's standard is different. It's a holy standard. When we measure ourselves against God, we all fall short. There is not a one of us that can do it on our own. We all need to come to the Lord. I said the second issue, the second thing that man relies on when making his GPS and making his decisions is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Proverbs 14:12. There we go. Proverbs 14. Stay. There's a way that seems right to man, and there's a way that ends in death. You think what is right, that you are the king, that you are the one that controls everything, but that only ends in death. You think that you're righteous. You're not. Without Christ, you are not righteous. That only ends in death. We think the ways of our heart, the ways of our mind are right, but it's the ways of Christ that we need to lay upon. Man's culture. Go ahead, one more. We are all like sheep, have gone astray, everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, sheep are communal animals. I know this because I spent many years as a shepherd in Chicago leading sheep. No, I don't. It was interesting last night. I was watching our neighbor's cows, and it was interesting because one of them started running across the field right in front of our house. And pretty soon, they were all running one after the other. And that's the way sheep are. They go with one another. It doesn't matter if it's the right way. They just take off. That's how we are. When I was in Chicago, I had a chance. I was on what's called the Boulevard Lakeshore Tour. It was a bicycle ride. It was about a 30-mile bicycle ride down through Chicago. And they would go through the city, and they would paint arrows on the sidewalk, on the street, so that as you were riding in the street, you could always look and see where you're supposed to go. Well, my uncle and I and a couple other guys were riding together and we're headed down the street, and I don't know, I missed an arrow or something. And I kept on going, just pedaling away. Well, here's the thing. There are a bunch of sheep behind me. They looked up and they said, "Hey, there he goes." And there we went, this whole group of people just kind of blindly going down the street, not where they had called us to go, but just blindly following the guy in the front. Yeah. I've said this before, when I preach and I talk to you, and I bring the Word of God to you, I ask you to go and check it. Check it against the Word of God like the Bereans did, to make sure that I'm telling you what is right and telling you what is true. We want to make sure that you're on the right path. And sometimes you end up following the person that isn't the right path. We find that a lot today. There's a lot of people that are following a sheep. And they're just blindly going along. And they're going to end up in a way that is in death. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Not only are we broken, but this world that we are in is broken. And it is at war against us. It does not want us to succeed in our walk. We need to not be conformed to this world. You know, I hear so often, we need to be on the right side of history. All these things, well, we need to change what you believe. You need to be on the right side of history. That Bible goes all the way back to the days of Moses. You want history? That's history. You want to be on the right side of history? Then you want to be on the right side of God, because He is the one that wrote the history. This time right now, this is not the history we want to be on the side of. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Renew your mind. Do not let the world tell you what you should be doing. God's GPS. There's three parts in God's GPS. The Bible. All Scripture is breathed out for by God, out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God didn't send the Bible down here to set on your shelf. He didn't set it down here so that you could have a collection of them. He set it down here because He wanted you to know the Word of God. He wanted you to understand how to live a life that is holy, a life that is honoring to God. That's why He sent His Son, to give us a living example. But now that He is gone, we rely on Scripture and we read through Scripture. But God didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. John 14. How many of you got those GPS systems in your vehicles? The ones where it starts talking when you're driving in that? Do you ever shut it off? God gave us the Holy Spirit to be a guide, to help us, to give us that inner sense about what is right and what is wrong, to open up Scripture so that we can understand it correctly. But if you squelch the Holy Spirit, if you turn the volume down because you have gone off course way too often, and the Holy Spirit is telling you, no, you need to be going back over here, and you start turning it down because you don't like the noise, then you'll be forever lost. You can't squelch the Holy Spirit, folks. You got to be able to listen to it. Sometimes we allow too many other things to take a precedent over it. You know, if you're driving along in the car, the good thing in our Honda is that everything else shuts off. Well, not everything shuts off, but if you've got music on, when the GPS system tells it's going to tell you to go someplace, it comes up louder than the music. We need the Holy Spirit to be loud in us so that we know where God is taking us. We know when we're making the wrong time and when we need to make those course corrections and get back on track with God. This one's going to be hard for you. The final part of the GPS, God's global positioning system for man, is the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. God didn't send you His Son down here to just create a bunch of little lone soldiers. He sent His Son to create a church, the people that were called from God to come together, the chosen people of God. You know, like I said, sometimes our GPS systems get broken. They used to have the software updated. It's not so much anymore. But here is the thing, and here's what I would lead you to. With God's GPS system, you need it to be up to date all the time. That means that you have some things that you need to do. The first thing in maintaining God's online, on God system, is you need to spend time in prayer. We too often think of prayer as a one-way street, I get on my knees and I tell God all the things I need him to do, all the things that are bothering me. Prayer is a two-way street. Actually, it should be more one way, God to you than you to God. I'm not saying do not bring to him the things that are heavy on your heart. But God wants to speak into you. And if you're continually talking, you're not hearing what he's saying. Sometimes we have to be still. To be still. To wait on the Lord. To hear his voice. We only hear his voice when we're listening. Go ahead. Regular time in God's Word. I can't impress upon you enough the need for us to be in God's Word. Too often, people don't know God's Word. They know what they think God's Word says, but they never corrected it and checked it to make sure that it really was what God's Word said. Money is the root of all evil. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. The love of money is the root of all evil. That makes a big difference. We need to be able to say, when somebody says to you, did God really say? We need to be able to say, yes, this is what God really said. And the only way we can do that is by spending time in God's Word. Regular church attendance. I laugh when I see this. You feel like a hypocrite. Too many times I sit on the back porch while I watch my wife and my children walk off to church. I was more interested in having a big Sunday morning breakfast and sitting on the back porch, reading the Chicago Tribune, seeing what was going on. Too many of us think that we don't need to come to church. That we can grow by reading on our own, by being in prayer on our own. God called us to be in a body. Because we are able to support one another. We are to encourage one another. Listen to what it says here in Hebrews 10. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. We're all to come together to help one another, to figure out how can we do this thing called being a Christian in this world. There are no freebies here, folks. Everyone is called to be a part of this body. Everyone. Each and every one of you is gifted by God. Gifted with God for things that are to be brought into the church body. Maybe you haven't thought about it. As you go home today, then I would ask you to do this. Think about it. What is it that God has gifted you with? How can you use those gifts to encourage the church, to lift the church up? And I'm not just talking about writing a check. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual gifts that God has given you. Are you using them? They're not there to just be dormant. They're there to be used in the church. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. Wonderful thing is called the radio and TV, you know, and the internet. We can go on there and we can go and you can hear some of the greatest preaching. You can go and you can listen to Andy Stanley, David Jeremiah, Chuck Swindoll, John Piper. You can go on and there are so many great preachers out there. And we can stay at home and we can say, well, I went to church today. No, you didn't go to church. You are not part of that church body. That's not to say that you can't get something from that message, but God has brought you here into a local church body to be a part of this so that we can minister to you and so that you can minister to us. That's what it's about. Ministering to one another. And all the more, encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. That was the thing that we stretched. That was the thing that was brought forth at the Piper Conference. The day is drawing near. We don't know when it is, but we should be living in that expectation that it could be right now. God may come, and we are walking out this door, and He may come right then and right there. Are we ready for that? Have we done what He has called us to do? Have we been faithful? Maybe He's not coming. Maybe you're going to meet Him. A day is promised to no one. We know the story of the rich farmer who thought he had all those days. And then God came to him and says, no, today is your day. There will be a day when we will all be called to account. Whether it is when Christ comes back or whether when we go to meet Him and we will be called to give account. The question is, are we ready? Are we living in that expectation? Are we using the gift that God has done us? Are we growing in our faith the way God has called us to do? Are we walking along God's plan for our lives? Or are we cutting our own path? Well, it was yesterday, Sue and I went out snowshoeing, went out through the woods, and we were cutting our own path. We were, at some point, we were both going off wherever we would go. Sue would say, well, I'm going over this way. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not making it through that spot. And so I would cut my own path. Your walk is not my walk. God has already planned a walk for you. The question is, are you walking the walk that God has planned for you? Are you doing what God has planned for you? Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you reading His word? Are you in prayer with Him? And are you being a participant in His church? When you do those things, you'll find yourself more and more walking the path that God has called you to walk. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.